Anna asks. That was Welch. Who's Welch? My security advisor. Okay, so what's happened? Leela left her husband about 3 months ago and ran off with a guy who was killed in a car accident 4 weeks ago.
Oh.
The asshole shrink should have found that out. Grief, that's what this is. Damn. That hospital could have done a better job. Come. I hold out my hand and Anna takes it without thinking. Then, just as abruptly, she snatches her hand away.
Wait a minute. We were in the middle of a discussion about us. About her, your Mrs. Robinson.
She's not my Mrs. Robinson. We can talk about it at my place.
I don't want to go to your place. I want to get my hair cut,
she yells. I take my phone and call the salon. Greta answers immediately. Greta, Christian Grey, I want Franco at my place in an hour. Ask Mrs. Lincoln.
Yes, Mr. Grey.
She puts me on hold for a nanosecond.
That's fine. He can be there at 1.
Good. I hang up. He's coming at 1.
Christian!
Anna glares at me. Anastasia, Leela is obviously suffering a psychotic break. I don't know if it's you or me she's after, or what lengths she's prepared to go to. We'll go to your place, pick up your things, and you can stay with me until we've tracked her down.
Why would I want to do that?
So I can keep you safe.
But
give me strength. You are coming back to my apartment if I have to drag you there by your hair.
I think you're overreacting.
I don't. We can continue our discussion back at my place. Come. She glowers at me, intractable.
No,
she says. You can walk, or I can carry you. I don't mind either way, Anastasia.
You wouldn't dare.
Oh, baby, we both know that if you throw down the gauntlet, I'll be only too happy to pick it up. She narrows her eyes. Anna, you give me no choice. I scoop her up and throw her over my shoulder, ignoring the startled look of a couple walking past us.
Put me down!
She rages and starts to struggle. I tighten my hold on her and slap her behind.
Christian!
She screeches. She's mad, but I don't give a fuck. An alarmed man, a father, I presume, pulls his young children out of our path.
I'll walk,
she shrieks, and I put her down immediately. She whirls around so fast her hair hits my shoulder. She stomps off in the direction of her apartment, and I follow, but I keep watch. Everywhere. Where are you, Leela? Behind a parked car? A tree? What do you want? Anna comes to a sudden stop.
What's happened?
She demands. What do you mean? What now?
With Leela.
I've told you.
No, you haven't. There's something else. You didn't insist that I go to your place yesterday, so what's happened?
Perceptive, Miss Steele.
Christian, tell me.
She managed to obtain a concealed weapons permit yesterday. Her whole demeanor changes. Anger turns to fear.
That means she can just buy a gun,
she whispers, horrified. Anna, I pull her into my arms. I don't think she'll do anything stupid, but I just don't want to take that risk with you.
Not me. What about you?
She says, her voice filled with anguish. She wraps her arms around me and hugs me hard. She's scared for me. Me. And a moment ago, I thought she was leaving. This is unreal. Let's get back. I kiss her hair. As we move on, I extend my arm around her shoulders and pull her to my side to protect her. She slips her hand into the belt loop of my jeans, holding me close, her fingers curled around my hip. This proximity is new. I could get used to it. We walk back to her apartment, and I keep an eye out for Leela. I contemplate the range of emotions I've experienced since waking as I watch Anna pack a small suitcase. In the alley the other day, I tried to articulate how I felt. The best I could do was unsettled. and that still describes my psyche right now. Anna is not the mild woman I remember. She's far more audacious and volatile. Has she changed so much since she left me? Or have I? It doesn't help that there's a whole new level of disquiet because of Leela. For the first time in a long time, I'm fearful. What if something were to happen to Anna because of my association with Leela? That whole situation is out of my control, and I don't like it. Anna, for her part, is solemn and unusually quiet. She folds the balloon into her backpack. Charlie Tango's coming, too, I tease. She nods and gives me a tepid smile. She's either scared or still mad about Elena, or she's pissed for being hoisted over my shoulder in the street. Or maybe it's the $24,000. Damn, there's a great deal to choose from. I wish I knew what she was thinking.
Ethan is back Tuesday, she says.
Ethan?
Kate's brother. He's staying here until he finds a place in Seattle.
Ah, the other Kavanaugh progeny, the beach bum. I met him at her graduation. He had his hands all over Anna. Well, it's good that you'll be staying with me. Give him more room.
I don't know that he's got keys. I'll need to be back then. That's everything, she says.
Taking her case, I have a quick look around before we lock up. I note with displeasure that the apartment has no intruder alarm. The Audi is parked out back where Taylor said it would be. I open the passenger door for Anna, but she stays rooted to the ground, staring at me. Are you getting in? I ask, confused.
I thought I was driving.
No, I'll drive.
Something wrong with my driving?
She asks, and there's that tone again.
Don't tell me you know what I scored on my driving test. I wouldn't be surprised with your stalking tendencies.
Get in the car, Anastasia. My patience is running thin. Enough. You're making me crazy. I want you home where you'll be safe.
Okay.
She huffs and climbs in. She doesn't live far from me, so our ride shouldn't take long. Normally, I would enjoy driving the small Audi. It's nimble in Seattle's traffic. But I'm distracted by every pedestrian. One of them could be Leela.
Were all your submissives brunettes?
Anna asks out of nowhere. Yes. But I don't really want to discuss this. Our fledgling relationship is moving into dangerous territory.
I just wondered.
She's fidgeting with a tassel on her backpack. Fidgeting means she's apprehensive. Put her at ease, Gray. I told you, I prefer brunettes.
Mrs. Robinson isn't a brunette.
That's probably why. She put me off blondes forever.
You're kidding.
Anna's disbelief is obvious. Yes, I'm kidding. Do we really have to talk about this? My anxiety multiplies. If she keeps digging, I'll confess my darkest secret. No, I can never tell her. She'll leave me, without a backward glance. And I recall watching her walk up the street and into the garage at the Heathman after our first coffee. She never looked back, not once. If I hadn't contacted her about the photographer's show, I wouldn't be with her now. Anna Strong, if she says goodbye, she means it.
Tell me about her.
Anna interrupts my thoughts. What now? Is she talking about Elena again? What do you want to know? More information about Mrs. Lincoln will only worsen her mood.
Tell me about your business arrangement.
Well, that's easy enough. I'm a silent partner. I'm not particularly interested in the beauty business, but she's built it into a successful venture. I just invested and helped get her started.
Why?
I owed it to her. Oh? When I dropped out of Harvard, she loaned me $100,000 to start my business.
You dropped out?
It wasn't my thing. I did 2 years. Unfortunately, my parents were not so understanding.
You're what?
Grace scowls at me, her expression apoplectic. I want to leave. I'm going to start my own company.
Doing what?
Investments.
Christian, what do you know about investments? You need to finish college.
Mom, I have a plan. I think I can do this. Look, son, this is a huge step that could affect your entire future. I know, Dad, but I can't do it anymore. I don't want to live in Cambridge for another 2 years.
Transfer. Come back to Seattle.
Mom, it's not the place.
You just haven't found your niche.
My niche is out in the real world, not in academia. It's stifling.
Have you met someone?
Grace asks. No. I lie smoothly. I knew Elena before I went off to Harvard. Grace narrows her eyes and the tips of my ears burn. We cannot condone this reckless move, son. Carrick is summoning his full-on pompous prick dad mode, and I worry he's going to give me his signature study hard, work hard, and family first lecture. Grace emphasizes her point.
Christian, you're gambling with the rest of your life.
Mom? Dad? It's done. I'm sorry to disappoint you again. My decision is already made. I'm just informing you.
But what about the wasted tuition?
My mother is wringing her hands. Shit. I'll pay you back.
How? And how in heaven's name are you going to start a business? You need capital.
Don't worry about that, Mom. It's in hand, and I will pay you back.
Christian, darling, it's not about the money.
The only lesson I learned at college was how to read a balance sheet, and I found the peace that single skulls brought me.
You don't seem to have done too badly dropping out. What was your major?
Anna says, bringing me back to our conversation. Politics and economics.
So she's rich?
Anna is fixated on Elena's loan to me. She was a board trophy wife, Anastasia. Her husband was wealthy, big in timber. This always makes me smile. I give Anna a sideways smirk. Lincoln Timber. What an unpleasant asshole he turned out to be. He wouldn't let her work. You know, he was controlling. Some men are like that.
Really? A controlling man?
Anna sounds scornful.
Surely a mythical creature.
Sarcasm drips off every word. She's in a sassy mood, but her response makes me grin.
She lent you her husband's money.
She sure did.
That's terrible.
He got his own back. The asshole. My thoughts take a dark turn. He nearly killed his wife because she was fucking me. I shudder to think what he'd have done to her if I hadn't shown up. Fury surges through my body, and I clutch the steering wheel as we wait for the Escala garage barrier to open. Blood drains from my knuckles. Elena was in the hospital for 3 months, and she refused to press charges.
Control yourself, Gray.
I relax my hold on the steering wheel.
How?
Asks Anna, as curious as ever, wanting to know about Link's revenge. I'm not telling her that story. I shake my head and park in one of my allotted spaces and turn off the ignition. Come, Franco will be here shortly. In the elevator, I glance down at her. The little V is there between her brows. She's pensive, maybe processing what I told her. Or is it something else? Still mad at me? I ask.
Very.
Okay. At least I know. Taylor has returned from visiting Sophie, his daughter. He greets us when we arrive in the foyer. Good afternoon, sir. He says quietly to me. Has Welch been in touch? Yes, sir. And? Everything's arranged. Excellent. How's your daughter? She's fine, thank you, sir. Good. We have a hairdresser arriving at 1, Franco De Luca. Miss Steele? Taylor greets Anna.
Hi, Taylor. You have a daughter?
Yes, ma'am.
How old is she?
She's 7. Anna looks confused. She lives with her mother, Taylor explains.
Oh, I see,
she says, and he gives her a rare smile. I turn and head into my living room. I'm not sure I appreciate Taylor charming Miss Steele or vice versa. I hear Anna behind me. Are you hungry? I ask. She shakes her head and her eyes scan the room. She hasn't been here since the awful day she left me. I want to tell her I'm glad she's back, but she's mad at me right now. I have to make a few calls. Make yourself at home.
Okay,
she says. In my study, on my desk, I find a large cloth bag. Inside is a stunning silver mask with navy plumes for Anna. Beside it, there's a small Chanel bag containing a red lipstick. Taylor has done well. However, I don't think Anna will be too impressed with my lipstick idea, at least not at the moment. I place the mask on a shelf and pocket the lipstick, then sit down at my computer. It was an enlightening and diverting morning with Anastasia. She's been as challenging as ever since we woke, whether it was about the check for her death trap of a beetle, my relationship with Elena, or who pays for breakfast. Anna's fiercely independent and still doesn't seem interested in my money. She doesn't take, she gives. But then she's always been that way. It's refreshing. All of my submissives used to love their gifts. Gray, who are you kidding? They said they did, but perhaps that was because of the role they were playing. I put my head in my hands. This is difficult. I'm on an uncharted course with Anna. Her anger toward Elena is unfortunate. Elena is a friend. Is Anna jealous? I can't help my past, and after all that Elena has done for me, it's going to be awkward dealing with Anna's hostility. Is this what my life will be like from now on, mired in this uncertainty? It will make an interesting topic to discuss with Flynn the next time I see him. Perhaps he can coach me through this. Shaking my head, I activate the iMac and check my emails. Welch has sent through a copy of Leela's forged concealed weapons license. She's using the name Jean Barry and an address in Belltown. The photograph is her likeness, though she looks older, thinner, and sadder than she did when I knew her. It's depressing. The woman needs help. I print out a couple of spreadsheets from SIP, P&Ls for the last 3 years that I will examine later. Then I review the resumes of the additional close protection team that Taylor has approved. Two of them are ex-feds, and two are ex-Navy SEALs. But I have yet to broach the subject of additional security with Anna. One step at a time, Gray. When I've finished responding to a few work emails, I go in search of Anna. She's not in the living room or my bedroom, but while there, I collect a couple of condoms from my bedside and continue my search. I want to go upstairs to check whether she's in the sub's room, but I hear the elevator doors and Taylor greeting someone. My watch reads 12:55. Franco must have arrived. The doors of the foyer open, and before Taylor opens his mouth, I say, I'll fetch Miss Steele.
Very good, sir.
Let me know as soon as the security detail gets here.
Will do, Mr. Gray.
And thanks for the mask and lipstick.
You're welcome, sir.
Taylor closes the door. Upstairs, I can't see her, but I hear her. Anna's talking to herself in the closet. What the hell is she doing in there? Taking a deep breath, I open the door and she's sitting cross-legged on the floor. There you are. I thought you'd run off. She holds up a finger and I realize that she's on the phone and not talking to herself at all. Leaning against the door jamb, I watch as she tucks her hair behind her ear and starts winding a strand around her index finger.
Sorry, Mom, I have to go. I'll call again soon.
She's jittery. Do I make her feel that way? Perhaps she's hiding in here to get away from me. She needs some space. The thought is disheartening.
Love you too, Mom.
She hangs up and turns to me, her expression expectant. Why are you hiding in here? I ask.
I'm not hiding, I'm despairing.
Despairing? Anxiety pricks my skin. She is thinking of running.
Of all this, Christian,
She gestures toward the dresses hanging in the closet.
The clothes? She doesn't like them?
Can I come in? I ask.
It's your closet.
My closet? Your clothes, Anna. Slowly I sink to the floor opposite her, trying to gauge her mood.
They're just clothes. If you don't like them, I'll send them back.
I sound resigned rather than conciliatory.
You're a lot to take on, you know.
She's not wrong. Scratching my unshaved chin, I consider what to say. Be real. Be truthful. Flynn's words ring in my head.
I know.
I'm trying, I reply.
You're very trying,
she quips.
As are you, Miss Steele. Why are you doing this?
She gestures between us. Her and me. She and I. Anna and Christian. You know why. I need you.
No, I don't,
she insists. I scrape my hands through my hair, looking for inspiration. What does she want me to say? What does she want to hear?
You are one frustrating female. You could have a nice brunette submissive, one who'd say, how high, every time you said jump, provided, of course, she had permission to speak. So why me, Christian? I just don't get it.
What should I tell her? Because I've woken up since I met her? Because my whole world has changed? It's rotating on a different axis?
You make me look at the world differently, Anastasia. You don't want me for my money. You give me...
I search for the word. Hope.
Hope for what?
Everything. More, I answer. It's what Anna wanted, and now I want it too.
Give her your whole pitch, Gray. I tell her she's right. I'm used to women doing exactly what I say, when I say, doing exactly what I want. It gets old. There's something about you, Anastasia, which calls to me on some deep level I don't understand. It's a siren's call. I can't resist you, and I don't want to lose you.
Whoa, flowery gray. I take her hand.
Don't run, please. Have a little faith in me and a little patience. Please.
And it's there in her sweet smile, her compassion, her love. I could bask in that look all day, every day. She places her hands on my knees, surprising me, and leans up to plant a kiss on my lips.
Okay, faith and patience. I can live with that,
she says. Good, because Franco's here. She flips her hair over her shoulder.
About time.
Her girlish laugh is infectious, and together we stand. Hand in hand, we make our way downstairs, and I think we might be over whatever was making her mad. Franco makes an embarrassing fuss over my girl. I leave them in my bathroom. I'm not sure Anna would appreciate me micromanaging a haircut. Heading back to my study, I feel tension in my shoulders. I feel it everywhere. This morning has been out of my control, and though she says she's going to try faith and patience, I'll have to see if she's as good as her word. But Anna has never given me a reason to doubt her. Except when she left, and she hurt me. I dismiss the dark thought and quickly check my emails. There's one from Flynn. From Dr. John Flynn to Christian Gray, June 11th, 2011, 1 p.m. Tonight.
Christian, are you attending your parents' benefit this evening? JF.
I respond immediately.
From Christian Gray to Dr. John Flynn, June 11th, 2011, 1:15 p.m. Tonight.
Good afternoon, John. I am indeed, and I'll be accompanied by Miss Anastasia Steele.
Christian Gray, CEO.
I wonder what he'll make of that. I think it's the first time I've really followed his advice, and I am trying my relationship with Anna her way. So far, so confusing. I shake my head and retrieve the spreadsheets I printed out and a couple of bound reports I have to read about the shipping business in Taiwan. I'm lost in the figures for SIP. They are hemorrhaging money. Their overhead is too high, their write-offs are astronomical, their production costs are rising, and their staff... A movement out of the corner of my eye distracts me. Anna. She stands at the entrance of the living room, twisting one foot inward and looking awkward and shy. She's staring anxiously at me, and I know she's seeking my approval. She's stunning, her hair a glossy mane.
See? I tell you he like it.
Franco has followed her into the living room. You look lovely, Anna, I say, and my compliment induces a fetching flush on her cheeks.
My work here is done,
Franco says, clapping his hands. It's time to see him out. Thank you, Franco, I say, and attempt to direct him out of my living room. He grabs Anna and kisses her on both cheeks in a rather dramatic display of affection.
Never let anyone else be cutting your hair, bellissima Anna.
I glare at him until he lets her go. This way, I say to get him out.
Mr. Gray, she is a jewel.
I know. Here. I hand him $300. Thank you for coming at such short notice.
It was a pleasure, a real pleasure.
He pumps my hand, and not a moment too soon, Taylor appears to escort him to the foyer. Thank God. Anna is standing where I left her. I'm glad you kept it long. I take a strand of her hair and caress it between my fingers.
So soft,
I whisper. She watches me, anxious, I think. Are you still mad at me? I ask. She nods. Oh, Anna. What precisely are you mad at me about? She rolls her eyes at me, and I recall a moment in her bedroom in Vancouver when she made exactly the same mistake. But that was a lifetime ago in our short relationship, and I'm sure she wouldn't let me spank her right now. Though I want to. Yes, I want to very much.
You want the list?
She says. There's a list. I'm amused.
A long one.
Can we discuss it in bed? Thoughts of spanking Anna have gone to my groin.
No.
Over lunch, then. I'm hungry, and not just for food.
I'm not going to let you dazzle me with your sexpertise.
Sexpertise? Anastasia, you flatter me, and I like it. What is bothering you specifically, Miss Steele? Spit it out. I've lost track.
What's bothering me?
She scoffs.
Well, there's your gross invasion of my privacy, the fact that you took me to some place where your ex-mistress works, and you used to take all your lovers to have their bits waxed. You manhandled me in the street like I was 6 years old.
She's on a roll with a litany of all my misbehavior. I feel like I'm in first grade again.
And to cap it all, you let your Mrs. Robinson touch you.
She didn't touch me, Christ.
That's quite a list.
But just to clarify once more, she's not my Mrs. Robinson.
She can touch you,
she stresses, and her voice wavers, full of hurt. She knows where.
What does that mean?
You and I don't have any rules. I have never had a relationship without rules, and I never know where you're going to touch me. It makes me nervous. She's unpredictable, and she has to understand that her touch disarms me. Your touch completely... It just means more. So much more. You can't touch me, Anna. Please just accept this. She steps forward, raising her hand. No. The darkness squeezes my ribs. I step back. Hard limit, I whisper. She masks her disappointment.
How would you feel if you couldn't touch me?
Devastated and deprived. Her shoulders fall and she shakes her head but gives me a resigned smile.
You'll have to tell me exactly why this is a hard limit one day.
Please. One day, I answer. And I push the vision of a burning cigarette out of my head. So the rest of your list, invading your privacy, because I know your bank account number? Yes, that's outrageous. I do background checks on all my submissives. I'll show you. I head into my study and she follows. Wondering if this is a good idea, I pull Anna's file from the cabinet and hand it to her. She glances at her neatly typed name and gives me a withering look. You can keep it, I tell her. Well, gee, thanks, she sneers, and starts flipping through and scanning the contents.
So you knew I worked at Clayton's?
Yes.
It wasn't a coincidence. You didn't just drop by.
Fess up, Gray. No.
This is fucked up. You know that.
I don't see it that way. What I do, I have to be careful.
But this is private.
I don't misuse the information. Anyone can get hold of it if they have half a mind to, Anastasia. To have control, I need information. It's how I've always operated.
You do misuse the information. You deposited $24,000 that I didn't want into my account.
I told you. That's what Taylor managed to get for your car. Unbelievable, I know, but there you go.
But the Audi, Anastasia, do you have any idea how much money I make? Why should I? I don't need to know the bottom line of your bank account, Christian.
I know. That's one of the things I love about you. Anastasia, I earn roughly $100,000 an hour. Her lips form the letter O, and for once she remains silent. $24,000 is nothing. The car, the tests, books, the clothes, they're nothing.
If you were me, how would you feel about all this largesse coming your way?
She asks. This is irrelevant. We're talking about her, not me. I don't know. I shrug because it's such a ludicrous question. She sighs as if she's had to explain a complex equation to a simpleton.
It doesn't feel great. I mean, you're very generous, but it makes me uncomfortable. I have told you this often enough.
I want to give you the world, Anastasia.
I just want you, Christian, not all the add-ons.
They're part of the deal, part of what I am. Who I am. She shakes her head, seeming subdued.
Shall we eat?
She asks, changing the subject. Sure.
I'll cook.
Good. Otherwise, there's food in the fridge.
Mrs. Jones is off on the weekends?
I nod.
So you eat cold cuts most weekends?
No.
Oh?
I take a deep breath, wondering how the piece of information I'm going to give Anna will go down. My submissives cook, Anastasia. Some well, some not so well.
Oh, of course.
She fakes a smile.
What would Sir like to eat?
Whatever Madam can find, I reply, knowing she won't get the reference. She nods and exits my study, leaving her file. Placing it back in the filing cabinet, I catch sight of Susanna's file. She was a hopeless cook, even worse than me. But she tried, and we had some fun with that. You've burned this?
Yes. Sorry, sir.
Well, what are we going to do with you?
Whatever pleases you, master.
Did you burn this deliberately? Her flush and the twitch of her lips as she masks her smile are answer enough. Those were pleasurable and simpler times. My previous relationships were dictated by a set of rules that were followed, and if they weren't, there were consequences. I had peace, and I knew what was expected of me. They were intimate relationships, but none of my previous submissives thrilled me as Anna does, even though she's so difficult. Maybe it's because she's so difficult. I remember our contract negotiation. She was difficult then. Yes, look how that turned out, Gray. She's had me on my toes since I met her. Is this why I like her so much? How long will I feel this way? Probably as long as she stays, because deep down I know she'll leave me eventually. They all do. Music starts blaring from the living room. Crazy in Love by Beyonce. Is Anna sending me a message? I stand in the corridor that leads to my study and the TV room and watch her cook. She's whisking some eggs, but she stops suddenly, and from what I can see, she's grinning like a fool. I creep up behind her and slip my arms around her, startling her. Interesting choice of music. I croon in her ear and plant a kiss behind it. Your hair smells good. She shimmies out of my arms.
I'm still mad at you,
she says. How long are you going to keep this up? I ask, and rake my hand through my hair in frustration.
At least until I've eaten.
Her tone is haughty but playful. Good. Picking up the remote, I switch off the music.
Did you put that on your iPod?
Anna asks. I shake my head. I don't want to say it was Leela because she might get mad again.
Don't you think she was trying to tell you something back then?
She says, guessing correctly that it was Leela. Well, with hindsight, probably. I reply. Why didn't I see this coming? Anna asks why it's still on my iPod and I offer to remove it. What would you like to hear?
Surprise me,
she says, and it's a challenge. Very well, Miss Steele, your wish is my command. I scroll through the iPod, dismissing several tunes. I consider Please Forgive Me by David Gray, but that's too obvious and frankly too apologetic. I know. What did she call it earlier? Sexpertise. Yes. Use it. Seduce her, Gray. I've had enough of her crankiness. I find the song I want, hit play. Perfect. The orchestra swells, and music fills the room with a cool, sultry intro, and then Nina Simone sings, I put a spell on you. Anna whirls around, armed with a whisk, and I catch and hold her gaze as I move toward her. You're mine, Nina sings. You're mine.
Christian, please,
Anna whispers when I reach her. Please what?
Don't do this.
Do what?
This.
She's breathless. Are you sure? I take the whisk out of her hand before she decides to use it as a weapon. Anna. I'm close enough to smell her. I shut my eyes and take a deep breath. When I open them, the telltale flush of desire stains her cheeks. And it's there between us, that familiar pull, our intense attraction. I want you, Anastasia, I whisper. I love and I hate, and I love arguing with you. It's very new. I need to know that we're okay. It's the only way I know how. She closes her eyes.
My feelings for you haven't changed,
she says, her voice low and reassuring. Prove it. Her eyelashes flutter and her eyes flit to the exposed skin above my shirt, and she bites her lip. I suppress my groan as the heat radiating from her body warms us both. I'm not going to touch you until you say yes. My voice is thick with my hunger. But right now, after a really shitty morning, I want to bury myself in you and just forget everything but us. Her eyes meet mine.
I'm going to touch your face,
she says, surprising me. Okay. I ignore the frisson that runs down my spine. Her hand caresses my cheek and I close my eyes, enjoying the feel of her fingertips teasing my stubble. Oh, baby. No need for fear, Gray. Instinctively, I press my face into her touch, experiencing it, luxuriating in it. I lean down, my lips close to hers, and she raises her face to mine. Yes or no, Anastasia?
Yes.
The word is no more than an audible sigh. And I lower my mouth to hers, my lips brushing hers, coaxing her, tasting her, teasing her until she opens up for me. I embrace her, one hand on her behind, pushing her against my arousal, and my other hand running up her back into her soft hair, where I tug gently. She moans as her tongue meets mine.
Mr. Gray.
We're interrupted. Christ. I release Anna. Taylor? I acknowledge, through gritted teeth as he stands on the threshold of the living room, looking suitably embarrassed but resolute. What the fuck? We have an understanding that he makes himself scarce when I'm not alone in the apartment. Whatever he has to say must be important. My study, I indicate, and Taylor walks briskly across the room. Rain check, I whisper to Anna and follow Taylor out.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir,
he says when we're in my office.
You'd better have a good reason.
Well, your mother called. Please don't tell me that's the reason.
No, sir, but you should call her back sooner rather than later. It's about this evening.
Okay, what else?
The security team is here, and knowing how you feel about guns, I thought I should inform you that they're armed.
What?
Mr. Welch and I both think it's a precautionary measure.
I loathe guns. Let's hope they don't have to use them. I sound pissed. And I am. I was making out with Anastasia Steele. When have I ever been interrupted while making out? Never. The thought suddenly amuses me. I'm living the adolescence I never had. Taylor relaxes, and I know it's because my mood has changed. Did you know Andrea was getting married today? I ask him, because this has been bugging me since this morning.
Yes?
He answers with a puzzled expression.
She didn't tell me. Probably just an oversight, sir.
Now I know he's patronizing me. I raise an eyebrow.
The wedding is at the Edgewater, he says quickly.
Is she staying there?
I believe so.
Can you discreetly inquire if the happy couple has a room there and get them upgraded to the best suite available and pay for it? Taylor smiles.
Certainly, sir.
Who's the lucky guy?
That I don't know, Mr. Gray.
I wonder why Andrea has been so mysterious about her wedding. I brush aside the thought as the aroma of something delicious filters into the room and my stomach growls in anticipation.
I'd better get back to Anastasia.
Yes, sir. Was that all?
Yes.
Great. We both exit my study. I'll brief them in 10, I say to Taylor when we're back in the living room. Anna is bending over the stove, retrieving a couple of plates.
We'll be ready,
Taylor says, and departs, leaving me alone with Anastasia.
Lunch?
She offers.
Please.
I sit down at one of the bar stools where she's laid our places for lunch.
Problem?
She inquires, as curious as ever. I have yet to tell her about the additional security.
No.
She doesn't push me for any answers as she busies herself plating our lunch of Spanish omelet with salad. I'm impressed she's so capable and at ease in my kitchen. She sits beside me as I take a bite, and the food melts in my mouth.
Delicious.
This is good. Would you like a glass of wine?
No, thank you.
She replies, and gingerly starts eating her lunch. At least she's eating. I forego the wine as I know I'll be drinking this evening, which reminds me that I have to call my mother. I wonder what she wants. She doesn't know I split up with Anna, and now we're back together. I should let her know that Anna is coming to the ball this evening. Using the remote, I switch on some relaxing music.
What's this?
Anna asks.
Cantaloube, Songs of the Auvergne. This is called Bailero.
It's lovely. What language is it?
It's in Old French. Occitan, in fact.
You speak French. Do you understand it?
Some words, yes. My mother had a mantra,
musical instrument, foreign language, martial art. Elliot speaks Spanish, Mia and I speak French. Elliot plays guitar, I play piano, and Mia the cello.
Wow, and the martial arts?
Elliot does judo. Mia put her foot down at age 12 and refused. Anna knows I kickbox.
I wish my mother had been that organized.
Dr. Grace is formidable when it comes to the accomplishments of her children.
She must be very proud of you. I would be,
Anna says warmly. Oh, baby, you couldn't be more wrong. Nothing is that simple. I've been a big disappointment to my folks. School expulsions, dropping out of college, no relationships that they knew of. If Grace only knew the truth about my lifestyle. If you only knew the truth, Anna. Don't go there, Gray. Have you decided what you'll wear this evening? Or do I need to come and pick something for you?
Not yet. Did you choose all those clothes?
No, Anastasia, I didn't. I gave a list in your size to a personal shopper at Neiman Marcus. They should fit. Just so you know, I have ordered additional security for this evening and the next few days. With Leela unpredictable and unaccounted for somewhere on the streets of Seattle, I think it's a wise precaution. I don't want you going out unaccompanied, okay? She looks a little stunned but agrees, surprising me by acquiescing without argument. Good. I'm going to brief them. I shouldn't be long.
They're here?
Yes. She looks puzzled, but she hasn't objected to the additional security, so while I have the upper hand, I pick up my empty plate and place it in the sink and leave Anna to finish her meal in peace. The security team is gathered in Taylor's office, seated at his round table. After our introductions, I sit down and run through the evening's event. Briefing finished, I return to my study to call my mother.
Darling, how are you?
She enthuses into the phone. I'm well, Grace.
Are you coming this evening?
Of course, and Anastasia is coming too.
She is.
She sounds surprised, but she recovers quickly.
That's wonderful, sweetheart. I'll make room at our table.
She sounds too exuberant. I can only imagine her delight. I'll see you this evening, Mother.
I look forward to it, Christian. Goodbye.
There's an email from Flynn. From Dr. John Flynn to Christian Gray, June 11th, 2011, 2:25 p.m. Tonight. I look forward to meeting Anastasia. JF. I bet you do, John. It seems everyone is thrilled I have a date tonight. Everyone, including me. Anna is lying across the bed in the submissive's room, staring at her Mac. She's engrossed in reading something on the web. What are you doing? I ask. She startles and for some reason looks guilty. I lie down beside her and see that she's on a website with a page titled Multiple Personality Disorder, The Symptoms. I understand that I have many issues, but fortunately schizophrenia is not one of them. I can't hide my amusement at her amateur psychological sleuthing. On this site for a reason.
Research into a difficult personality.
A difficult personality.
My own pet project.
I'm a pet project now? A sideline. Science experiment, maybe.
When I thought I was everything. Miss Steele, you wound me. How do you know it's you?
Wild guess, I tease.
It's true that you are the only fucked up mercurial control freak that I know intimately.
I thought I was the only person you know intimately.
Yes, that too,
she replies, and an embarrassed flush turns her cheeks a fetching pink. Have you reached any conclusions yet? She turns to scrutinize me, her expression warm.
I think you're in need of intense therapy.
I tuck her hair behind her ear, pleased that she's kept it long and I can still do this. I think I'm in need of you, I counter. Here. I give her the lipstick.
You want me to wear this?
I laugh. No, Anastasia. Not unless you want to.
Not sure it's your color. Scarlet red is Elena's color, though I don't tell Anna that. She'll combust, and not in a good way. I sit up on the bed, cross my legs, and pull my shirt over my head. This is either a brilliant brainwave or a stupid one. We'll see. I like your roadmap idea. She looks puzzled. The no-go areas, I prompt.
Oh, I was kidding, she says.
I'm not.
You want me to draw on you with lipstick?
She's bewildered. It washes off, eventually. She considers my proposition and a smile tugs at her lips.
What about something more permanent, like a Sharpie?
I could get a tattoo.
No, to the tattoo.
She laughs, but her eyes are wide in horror. Lipstick, then, I retort. Her laugh is infectious, and I beam at her. She shuts the Mac, and I hold out my hands. Come, sit on me. She peels her shoes off and crawls over to me. I lay back, keeping my knees upright. Lean against my legs. She sits astride me, excited at this new challenge. You seem enthusiastic for this, I note with irony.
I'm always eager for information, Mr. Gray, and it means you'll relax because I'll know where the boundaries lie.
I shake my head. I hope this is a good idea. Open the lipstick, I instruct. For once, she does as she's told. Give me your hand. She holds up her free hand. The one with the lipstick.
Are you rolling your eyes at me?
She chides. Yep.
That's very rude, Mr. Gray. I know some people who get positively violent at eye rolling.
Do you now? My tone is wry. She places her hand with the lipstick in mine, and I sit up suddenly, surprising her, so we're nose to nose. Ready? I whisper, trying to curb my anxiety, but panic starts to spread.
Yes,
she responds, the word as soft as a summer breeze. Knowing I'm about to overstep my bounds, the darkness is circling like a vulture, waiting to consume me. Taking her hand, I move it to the top of my shoulder, and fear squeezes my ribs, expelling the air from my lungs. Press down. I struggle to get the words out. She does, and I guide her hand around my arm socket and down the side of my chest. The darkness slides into my throat, threatening to choke me. Anna's amusement is gone, replaced by her solemn and determined concentration. I fix my eyes on hers and read every nuanced thought and emotion in the depths of her irises, each a life buoy, keeping me from drowning, holding the darkness at bay. She is my salvation. I stop at the bottom of my rib cage and move her hand across my abdomen, the lipstick spilling its red trail as she paints my body. I'm panting, trying desperately to hide my fear. Each muscle is tense and standing proud as the red slices my flesh. I lean back, supporting myself on flexed, straining arms as I fight my demons and surrender myself to her gentle illustration. She's halfway done when I let go and give her total control. And up the other side, I whisper. With the same single-minded focus, Anna draws up my right side. Eyes impossibly large, anguished, but holding my attention. When she reaches the top of my shoulder, she stops.
There, done,
she breathes, her voice husky with repressed emotion. She lifts her hand away from my body, giving me a brief respite. No, you're not. I draw a line with my finger around the base of my neck, above my clavicle. Anna takes a deep breath and traces the lipstick along the same line. When she finishes, blue eyes meet gray. Now my back, I instruct, and shift so that she clambers off me. I turn around, my back to her, and cross my legs. Follow the line from my chest, all the way around to the other side. My voice is hoarse and alien to me, like I've left my body entirely to watch a beautiful young woman tame a monster. No. No. B. be in the moment, Gray. Live this. Feel this. Conquer this. I am at Anna's mercy. The woman I love.
The tip of the lipstick crosses my back as I hunch over and screw my eyes shut, tolerating the pain. It disappears.
Around your neck, too?
Her voice is plaintive, full of reassurance, my life buoy. I nod and the pain is back, piercing my skin beneath my hairline. Then, just as suddenly, it's gone again.
Finished,
she says, and I want to shout my relief from the helipad on Escala. I turn to face her and she's watching me. And I know I'll shatter like a shard of glass if I see any pity on her face. But there's none. She's waiting, patient, kind, controlled, compassionate. My Anna, those are my boundaries, I whisper.
I can live with those. Right now, I want to launch myself at you,
she says, her eyes shining.
At last.
My relief is a wicked smile, and I hold out my hands in invitation.
Well, Miss Steele, I'm all yours.
She squeals with glee and throws herself into my arms.
Whoa.
She knocks me off balance, but I recover and twist so that she lands on the bed beneath me, grasping my biceps.
Now about that rain check.
I kiss her, hard. Her fingers curl in my hair and tug as I consume her. She moans, her tongue entwined with mine, and there's a reckless, wild abandon in our kissing. She's driving the darkness out, and I'm drinking in her light. Adrenaline is fueling my passion, and she's matching me kiss for kiss. I want her naked. I sit her up and drag her t-shirt over her head and toss it to the floor.
I want to feel you.
My words are feverish against her lips as I undo her bra and throw it aside. I lay her back down on the bed and kiss her breast, my lips toying with one nipple while my fingers tease the other. She cries out when I suck and tug hard.
Yes, baby, let me hear you.
I breathe against her skin. She squirms beneath me as I continue my sensual worship of her breasts. Her nipples respond to my touch, growing longer and harder as Anna writhes to a rhythm set by her passion.
She is a goddess. My goddess.
I undo the button on her jeans as she twists her hands in my hair. I make short work of her zipper and slip my hand inside her panties. My fingers slide with ease to their goal.
Fuck.
She thrusts her pelvis up to meet the heel of my hand, and I press against her clitoris as she mules beneath me. She's slick and ready.
Oh, baby,
I whisper, and lean up and hover over her, watching her wild expression.
You're so wet. I want you,
she whimpers. I kiss her again as my hand moves against and inside her. I'm greedy. I want all of her. I need all of her. She's mine.
Mine.
I sit up and grab the hem of her jeans, and in one swift tug, they're off. I hook my fingers in her panties and they follow. I stand and out of my pocket take a foil packet and toss it at her. I'm relieved to remove my jeans and underwear. Anna rips open the packet and eyes me hungrily when I lie down beside her. Slowly, she rolls the condom over me, and I grab her hands and roll onto my back.
You, on top, I insist, and I sit her astride me. I want to see you.
Slowly, I ease her down onto me.
Fuck, she feels so good.
I close my eyes and flex my hips as she takes me, and I exhale with a long, loud groan.
You feel so good.
I tighten my fingers around hers. I don't want to let her go. And she rises and falls, her body embracing mine, her breasts bouncing as she does. I let go of her hands, knowing she'll respect the roadmap, and I grab her hips. She places her hands on my arms as I rise up and thrust into her. She cries out,
"That's right, baby. Feel me,"
I whisper. She tips her head back and becomes the perfect counterpoint. Up, down, up, down, up, down.
I lose myself in our shared rhythm, reveling in every precious inch of her. She's panting and moaning, and I watch her take me over and over.